What was once expected to be a glitzy showbiz Republican National Convention is now described by the Donald Trump campaign as one focused on everyday people. The convention begins tonight in Cleveland. The four-day event takes place under the cloud of the second attack on police officers in as many weeks, the killings of three officers yesterday in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. With us this morning to look at what's ahead this week is our regular team of political analysts, Republican strategist Todd Domke. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Bob.
And Democratic strategist Dan Payne. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Bob.
So let's first ask about the atmosphere that the conventions are taking place in, both of them, the GOP convention this week, the Democrats next week, the shootings of police officers in Baton Rouge and Dallas, the police shootings of black men that have sparked the unrest nationally, the coup attempt in Turkey this weekend, ISIS. If you're the candidates, how do you deal with this, Dan?
Well, you deal with it by being calm, dignified, and firm, with the emphasis on calm. The temptation is to use incendiary rhetoric, to talk tough and say things that could be seen as fighting fire with fire. Trump blamed the shootings in Baton Rouge on a lack of leadership, meaning President Obama. But blaming the White House for what happened in Baton Rouge or Turkey is absurd.
Well, when tragedies like this strike, you can't help but wish that we had candidates who could speak in a way that inspired us to unite in a spirit of reconciliation, like when Robert Kennedy spoke to a predominantly black audience after the assassination of Martin Luther King. But our politicians sound like politicians when they issue statements. And it adds to the anxiety people feel because it doesn't give us reason to hope.
All right, on to the convention. What's the chief challenge facing Donald Trump this week, Todd Domke?
Well, to unify a fractured party and at the same time appeal to non-Republicans to broaden his base. This will be the Trump convention more than a Republican convention. That's what his campaign chairman said, Paul Manafort. And to satisfy the candidate, the convention will showcase Trump, the man, the success story. That's why all of his family are headline speakers to testify to his greatness. But that's not going to persuade undecided voters who want to know about his principles and how he'd actually govern.
All right, so given the fact that most of the Republican Party heavyweights are skipping the Donald Trump convention, what's Trump need to accomplish this week in order to say it's been a great convention week?
Most of all, he needs to deliver a great speech and not one that veers off script where he's boasting about how successful he's been and insulting Republicans who won't endorse him. He needs to act and sound presidential. He needs his running mate to be convincing as well. And he needs a convention to seem like a well-run, serious event, not a wacky TV reality show.
No question that between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, Trump is the change candidate, so to speak. Polls show voters want change. They're just not sure that Trump change is the change they want, that maybe he's just too risky. So how do you think Trump deals with that this week, Dan?
Well, presidents have to keep their cool. And bragging, as Trump did, that he's the law and order candidate is what makes him seem high risk. Nominees at conventions don't deliver speeches before they're officially their party's choice. So Trump should follow the tradition and show what Hemingway called courage, grace under pressure.
Some Republican Party heavyweights think that by the end of the week, Trump will have 90% of the party behind him. How successful, Todd, do you think Trump will be at bringing reluctant Republicans to him and then expanding support beyond Republicans to right-leaning Democrats, independents, and to union voters?
Well, he's got some non-Republican support already, of course. Some union voters who had supported Bernie Sanders, some independents who don't think ideologically so much as they trust personality. But many conservatives will continue to oppose Trump because they see him as amoral, bigoted, with no governing principles, and someone who sounds authoritarian. And that critique is based on statements made by Trump that he will not take back. So many conservatives, like Ben Domenech, an editor of The Federalist, he said, this is not the party of Lincoln anymore. Now this party is coming to Cleveland to die. So the Trump campaign says the Never Trump movement is dead, but many of the negatives on Trump will not be erased by this convention, no matter how entertaining it is.
All right, tone of Trump at this convention. He drew people to his campaign because of his bluntness, but does he need to strike a softer tone this week in order to draw beyond key supporters, Dan?
Well, I hope for the sake of the country that he will try to act in a statesmanlike, dare I say, presidential manner. If he doesn't, he runs the risk of making things worse and making it seem like he's rattled or angry. This is a time when being in control of one's emotions is the essential ingredient of a leader.
Let me ask one more question. Any surprises this week, and what do you think it might be? Todd Domke.
Well, I think Trump might announce some people he would appoint to his cabinet if elected, like the two he spurned for vice president, Chris Christie, maybe as his attorney general, or Newt Gingrich as secretary of defense. And it would be a surprise if he managed to get some of his past Republican opponents to stand with him on stage, like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. And, of course, it would be a surprise if he didn't call Clinton Crooked Hillary.
Dan Payne.
Well, I'd be surprised if Hillary Clinton's name didn't come up every 30 seconds. It's the one thing that unites this party is a hatred for Hillary Clinton.
Dan Payne, thanks a lot for coming in this morning. Talk to you again this week.
You're welcome, Bob.
Same to you, Todd Domke.
Good to be with you, Bob.